This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Stan is not going to sing. That is my gift to you. All right, cool. Well, I don't know where you guys are at tonight. You know, we're all in different places. I know church worldwide, you know, it doesn't take long looking at what's going on around the world and know that there's movements that we can just jump up and down and celebrate, and we are just ecstatic about it. And, you know, you can hardly believe what's going on in the church. And there's other areas of the world where the sorrow hits so deep. I mean, we could go through every kind of emotion where we want to weep with those who weep. God is on the move worldwide. Powerful things are happening. We're part of that. We have been doing a biblical self-awareness series. It's been all about identity. It's what we're doing, about discovering who we really are, digging really deep. We're in a phase of that biblical self-awareness called God's Recovery Program, and it's how God brings about change. And so, you know, we do a lot of inner work, and sometimes that can be really stressful, painful, can really push us. Anyone that's dealing with addiction or, you know, inner wounds or fears, you know, it can really, really take up a lot of energy. And so I think it's by design in our study that this is the place where we kind of step back from that inner work and we get a nice shot of confidence. And I think it's great. You know, how many of you guys need a real shot of confidence tonight, you know? Like, give me a shot of confidence. Well, that's what this is going to do. This is what this one is all about. I love this. It's a little different than what we normally do. So, you know, just kind of hang on because we're going to go for a little bit of a ride tonight. So here's our Bible. You know, this is what a lot of people, you know, call the big book, our Bible, the good book. And it's made up of a bunch of little books. But there's a major division in it where it's broken down into two major sections. How many of you guys know what that is? Old and new, I'm hearing. Yeah, Old Testament, New Testament. Thank you, Clay. You are right. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. Now, when you break down those words, you know, you can come up with different things. Testament can be like a will, you know, where someone's, you know, sets things in place for when they die. This is what it's going to be, their desire of what's going to happen. You break down covenant is really the word we're after. To say it really accurate, you would actually say, you wouldn't say Old Testament, New Testament. You'd actually say Old Covenant, New Covenant. And that's a form of an agreement, a promise, a pledge, a contract. The closest thing we have to model after that would be marriage. Our marriage ritual is just filled with covenant. It's all over it. In fact, we live our lives with all kinds of rituals in covenant, with the covenant language and a lot of covenant movements. So God had an agreement that he made, or a covenant he made with Israel. He actually made a covenant. He had a covenant with Adam. He had a covenant with Noah. He had a covenant with Abraham. He had a covenant with Israel. He had one with David, and he finally had one with Jesus. And the terms of these covenants are different. He made a blood covenant with Israel, and he made a different one, though, with the rest of the world, which is us. It's very different. The contract, the covenant, the agreement that he made with us is different than what he made with the Jews. Did you guys know that the law was never given to the Gentiles? It's interesting because as a Jew, they're basically told to take off the old, like a jacket, and put on the new covenant. But what we love to do as Gentiles, we love to put on the old, then have to take it off, and then put on the new, you know, for some reason. That's what we end up doing, and that's not how it's been designed. We're to walk in the new covenant. But this whole thing, to say it even more accurate than covenant, we would say blood covenant. There would be old blood covenant, new blood covenant. That's really what we have here, is the old blood covenant, new blood covenant. Super interesting. And the word blood covenant, that term, if you boil it all the way down, means to cut. How interesting. And the blood covenant ritual is in every culture, it's found in every culture as far back as we have evidence that human beings exist or have existed, there's evidence of the blood covenant. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, all the way back, as far as we can see in history, there's evidence of blood covenant. A blood covenant is legal. There's no exit. It's the strongest form of covenant. And I really like you guys to kind of hear this out tonight a little bit, to hear kind of what it's all about. And it's a real blessing, and it really gives me just a profound sense of awe and confidence. So let's just say that, let's say Tony and I over here are going to enter into a blood covenant, okay? So first of all, I wouldn't want to enter a blood covenant with a stranger. I'd want to know him, because this is a real big deal. The first thing we would do is one of us would initiate. And that would be, normally it would be the one, like there's two different kinds of blood covenants. There's a syntheke and a diatheke covenant. A syntheke is where two equals are coming into this contract together. Two families, two tribes, two groups of people that are basically equal. And for whatever reason, they're deciding it would be better for both of our groups to just join in a covenant. So we don't squabble and fight and we could be stronger, right? But a diatheke, that is where one person has basically got all the goods, all the wealth, all the stuff, and he reaches way down and grabs somebody that doesn't have anything to offer, and he enters into a covenant with that person, making the other person very wealthy, and they profit a whole lot. So obviously in that, the greater has to initiate the covenant. Right? It wouldn't be right for a little pauper to go up to a king and say, let's do a blood covenant, right? Because the motives would be questioned there. So the greater has to initiate, and that's how that works. That's the etiquette in it. But what we would do is, first thing we would do is we'd take off our coats, and I would offer him my coat, and he would give me his coat. What that represents in me giving him my coat, him giving me his coat, would be I'm offering him my identity. I'm giving him myself. He's given me himself. That's what we're saying to everybody present. I'm giving him me, and he's giving me him. Super big deal. Imagine if he's the head of a big tribe or a group, and I'm the head of a big tribe, and we come together. I give him me. He gives me himself. That's saying a whole lot. The next thing that would happen is our belts would come off. Right? Right. And it wouldn't be for holding up our pants. I think Mitch Hedberg's the one that said, my belt's holding up my pants, but I have these loops holding up my belt. Who's the hero here? Like, you know. But anyway, back then, they held up your weapons, all your weapons. So I've got, you know, all kinds of weapons on here. So I'm handing him my weapons, and he's handing me his weapons. In other words, dude, anyone messes with you, they're messing with me. They mess with me, they're messing with you, right? I mean, we're saying, I'll protect you, you protect me, we are for each other in this covenant. This is a really, really big deal. The next thing we would do is we'd take these animals, and we'd bring them in from large animal to small, and the little birds wouldn't get cut in half, but these big animals, they cut them right down the center, bone and all, really odd, really gruesome, cut this animal. Imagine a big old cow or a heifer, just cutting it right down the middle, and these animals going right down the center, and we lay out a hallway of halved animals. And this is how we would do this in a blood covenant. And so what we would do is, and with these animals, we come right down into the center of death. And we're basically saying publicly before you guys, we're saying, okay, I'm entering death, and let this happen to me and my family if I break this covenant. And he's saying the same thing. Then we would do a circle. Some places they do a figure eight. Some they just circle. But you circle outside of the animal, and I'm outside of the animal, and then we come back and meet again in the middle. So you go around outside of the animal. So what we're signifying here is basically, I'm dying to who I am right now. I am, and you see this in marriage, this is a huge error in American marriage. We don't see the seriousness. What we're talking about in the blood covenant union of me becoming him, him becoming me, I'm leaving everything it means to be single, everything. And when I return from death, I am now reborn as a person now joined to him forever. I am no longer who I was before the covenant. I am now joined. I'm dying to what it means to be a single person. And now I am in a union relationship, changed my identity forever and ever and ever. Real big deal that we do that. Then we have the cutting of the covenant. This is the cut. This is the blood covenant. And it's so interesting to me, is actually we cut right where the Romans would nail someone being crucified. We would actually cut our hands here, real nice cut, and we would hold it up for everyone to see, and the blood would run down and pour down off of our arms. Everyone would see it. You guys know where it comes from in court, where you say, I swear, I solemnly swear, tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Not that any of us have been in court before. Just kidding. But when we say that, this is blood covenant language. This is where it comes from. We're standing before everyone, blood running down, and we've cut the covenant. And then what we do is, like, let's say we've cut, now we're going to join scars. Guess what we're doing? We're mingling. We have now become blood brothers. We're now one, right? You guys come up to people tonight, saw it all over the room, people going, hey, what's up? Guess what language this is? This is covenant language. This is where it comes from. This is where it comes from. We're doing blood covenant right here. I am mingled with him. He's mingled with me. This is where this comes from. And then as we're mingling blood, we're going over now the terms of the covenant. This is what we're agreeing to, right? The left side of the fridge will now be mine forever. The right side of the fridge is yours, right? I will park in the garage that's heated. You will not. That kind of stuff. We're going to go over the terms in front of all the witnesses so you guys all know. Then we would raise a memorial tree, plant a tree, or raise up a big stone and sprinkle it with blood from the animals so that the whole place knows and remembers. Every time we see that tree, every time we see that stone, we all remember when me and him became one. We're one. Me, him, we are one, right? This is how it works. Now, it's so interesting. One of the rules of the blood covenant is both of us have to bleed, right? I have to bleed, and he has to bleed. We both have to bleed. Super, super important that we bring that. Then we legally exchange names, just like a wedding. This is where it comes from. I would now be like Stan Tony Bourne, and he would be, you know, he would be a Tony Stan Dickinson or Tony Bourne, you know, whatever. You guys get it. I'd sit up here and just mangle it, you know. You guys are all, we get it. I'm like, do you get it? And then we have the scar. And in all of history, like you look back on the blood covenant, they would rub like gunpowder, dirt, feces. I mean, they wanted to fester. They wanted to be a nice scar, right? And then when Tony's out in the woods picking berries for his tribe, like he does, right? And he happens upon a group of people that are hoodlums starting trouble, he can go, hey, you're not just messing with me, guys. Not going to just be my fist coming back at you. It's going to be this whole tribe, right? I'm part of blood covenant, so be careful. Very similar, like when we are in other countries, when we say, excuse me, I'm an American citizen. Like very, very similar in that, in the way of power. Reminds me of if you're out in the woods and you're starting trouble and there's a dude out there and he, all of a sudden you see a badge and you realize he's a police officer. You're like, whoa! Parties over. I mean, because he's joined to something very powerful, much bigger than him, and he can call on that authority and power. This is what we're talking about with the blood covenant. This is the kind of thing we have. Gangs have it. Gangs understand it all too well, the mark. Like, I'm part of this, and they're part of me. You mess with me, you're messing with them. We're all one. Super big deal. Then we go over our assets. We list them out. Here's what I own. Here's what's mine. I can actually go up to Tony and go, hey, I forgot my wallet. Let me see my other wallet. Yeah, I could do that. And he could say, you know, someone took my car. Let me have my other car. And I give him my keys. Like, we share. What's mine is his. Marriage, very much the same. It's not this big separate, I got my money, she's got hers, no access. No, it's our money. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, we share. This is a super big deal here. Let's just say that I'm the wealthy one, and he's the one I'm reaching to, right? I'll just give him that for age, you know, because I'm older. I should be in a better place. But let's just say he's got all this debt, credit card debt, all this stuff, and I come along, we enter this blood covenant, we do all this stuff, we join. Guess what? His debt, it's mine. It's gone. Anybody that's married somebody, you know, when Glenna married me, unfortunately, she married into probation, right? Child support, debt. I mean, huge. She married right into it. Mine is now hers, right? Her headaches, my headaches. Like, we're one. And this is such a big deal. This is so important to understand. And then, when all that's done, we have a big meal. And we celebrate the blood covenant meal. And the bread in the meal represents the body of one another. And the wine in the meal represents the blood covenant that we just join. Guess what they do? This is totally for real. You study the blood covenant, you'll be amazed. Guess what they do with the bread? We both reach for a piece of bread. Two heads of tribes. Guess what we do in the ceremony? We feed each other. Look familiar? It's what we do. And we drink the wine. I mean, this is my tribal partner. Dude, your family, your kids, they're mine. Mine are yours, you know? And guess what? After the blood covenant meal, we eat the bread, we drink the wine. We are now officially one. And guess what? Historically, guess what we would now call one another as we walk around, live our lives? When I see Tony, Tony is from now on my friend. That's what they call each other. And I am now forever his friend. That term friend isn't like you can, you know, click on, subscribe, and then click off, unsubscribe like that quick. It's not one of those things. From now on, we're friends forever and ever to walk out this blood covenant. And if I break my end of the deal, my whole family is threatened. Like, he could kill my whole family and me over it. Like, this is how serious this is. Super big deal. Will you guys give my blood covenant partner a huge hand? Huge hand. Yeah! Don't take my wallet with you, by the way. I'm going to need that. Now, this is amazing to me, guys, because did you guys know, and this just blows my little Asian mind. Like, it just does. That God, our creator, actually entered into a Hebrew blood covenant. This covenant, this very one, he entered into that covenant with a human being, with a person. Like God, the invisible God, entered into a blood covenant with a person. We know him as Abraham. Genesis 15, check it out, read it, study it. Absolutely blows my mind, like boom. Be like me entering into that ceremony with a flea. Like, I mean, that's the first thought I get. It's much bigger than that. But going in through the ceremony and into fleedom and doing that kind of stuff, amazing. And so, as you can see, God initiated the blood covenant with Abram because God clearly is the greater. He's the one with all the stuff. And so he initiates. He says, hey, I will be your reward. This is what God said to Abram. I will be your reward. What was God doing? I will give you myself. He's offering his coat. Super, super cool stuff as you go through this. He offers Abram protection with his belt, and we see the evidence of that. Abram would get himself in trouble, and it would be Abraham's fault. He would lie. He would weasel his way into something. God would come and save him and deal with his enemies. Why? Because that's his blood covenant partner. Abraham's problems were God's problems, and he dealt with it that way. The cutting of the covenant, this is super interesting because, remember, both have to bleed. Both sides have to bleed. How does God bleed? Invisible God in a blood covenant. Well, God bled through the animals that were brought by Abraham. His blood would be represented through the animals. How would Abraham bleed? He bled through the rite of circumcision. And there's going to be some serious blood there. And it's a very intimate cut, a very intimate scar, showing the type of how personal this union would be with God he would be making with Abraham. They would actually exchange names. You know that? I mean, do you realize that? Abram became Abraham. And as you know, the name God, Yahweh, like I say it like I breathe in and breathe out. Yahweh. If you breathe, you're saying his name so well. Breath, our lives. First thing you ever said was God's name. The last thing you'll ever say is the name of God. Like, this is how it works. And that silent H, that spirit part of God's name, he put in the midst of Abraham's identity. In the middle of Abraham would be the spirit of God. God would put that in his name. He would now be known as Abraham. So beautiful. Is that beautiful? It's just, God would take Abraham's name and he would be known from then on as the God of Abraham. From then on, God would call himself, I'm the God of Abraham. I just think that's the most beautiful thing. Moves me to tears. Absolutely amazing. From then on, Abraham would be the friend of God. Do you guys think that's favoritism? That God would pick out a man and enter into a blood covenant of that power and magnitude? You know, why not anybody else? I mean, do you think that's favoritism for God to do that? To choose a nation over everyone else? I mean, do you struggle with that sometimes? We have to remember this whole term of redeemer, the patriarchal society. Just imagine this, okay? Imagine, let me see. Let's say that Ed is the patriarch of our group, right? He's the head of our group. All resources will go to him. Everything goes to him. But guess what? He's the one responsible for all of us. He comes and makes sure you have what you need. You got enough food. You got enough clothes. You're warm. Okay, everybody good? And he makes sure that everybody's okay. He's in charge of taking care of everyone. He's the patriarch. And we see this with Abraham. When Lot gets himself in trouble, what does he do? Get the men. Let's go. And he went and got him. If I lost my car and it's impounded and I'm in trouble, he not only gets me, but he gets my car back, brings it back into the family, brings me back into the family safe. He's my redeemer. And he acts that way. Abraham would be a type of redeemer where God would say, I'm pouring myself into you. Resources are going to go to you. I'm going to manifest myself to you, but now you are a redeemer. I want you to bring the world back into my home. And we see this with Israel. Israel was going to be God's megaphone where God would speak to the world through Israel. This was his plan. Resources go to Israel. wealth and riches and my presence go. Is that favoritism? No. Because guess what? Then they were responsible to share God with the world, their wealth, their resources. Come on home. Let me go get you. Let me go care about you. Let me go pay your debt. Let me buy your land back. Bring it back. Like, this is what they were to do. And they didn't do a real good job. A lot of times when we get wealth, what do? We build a house of mirrors and we stockpile, and I don't do what I'm supposed to do with it. Right? Now it's about me. I'm hoarding. And they built a system of law that really kept people out instead of bringing them in. So it was this type of redeemer that we're looking at. Does that make sense? Okay. Exodus 19, we see Israel meeting at Mount Sinai, their covenant partner. Scary stuff. They got the terms of the covenant, like their wedding vows. Scary stuff. But Israel would not keep their end of the covenant deal, and this is where we come to present day, where this is about us. Let me read this to you guys. Okay, check this out. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. When I took them by the hand, led them out of Egypt, they did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turn my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day. I'll put my laws in their minds. I'll write them on their heart. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. And they'll not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me. I will forgive their wickedness, and I'll never again remember their sins." I'll never again remember their sins. You know, I hope this is incredible news to you guys, to know that in the book of Acts we see what it must have been like after the resurrection of Jesus when the Gentiles realized they get in on the deal. We're Gentiles, that's us. Like, it's not just the Jews, it's not just Abraham and Israel. Now the door is open. Guess what? We all get in on the covenant. We can be covenant partners with God. That's news that sent me this week doing a little jig in my house after I closed the curtains. Right? And I did a mighty jig before God because of the power of what this means. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever, that's Stanborn, believes in him, I won't perish, but I'll have everlasting life. That's all of us. In this new covenant, I think you guys know very well that God offers you his identity, and he's asking for yours. Will you give me your identity? Can we stand in public right now and exchange coats? Like, will you stand before this community, before this church, publicly, take your coat and give it to the Lord and let him give you his identity? He gives me a coat of righteousness, his, and he takes mine. Unbelievable stuff. He gives me his protection. Has anyone had God fight for you before? Anybody had that happen? Anybody actually experienced where, I know I'm down for the count, this is it, it's over, and then God just fixes it, just mends it? Anybody? Anybody have God fight for you? Anybody see the hand of God, like, move and go, look out, covenant partner? Thank you, Drew. So the have to animals. We have our Lord in the blood covenant where we walk into the hall of death. We enter death with him. Romans 6:11 says, what? You are dead to sin. Count on the fact you're dead to sin. We enter death. We come around. We enter a brand new life. Count on the fact you're dead to sin, dead to the old you, and you are now alive to a brand new identity. Never to be the same, no longer to be the same. You can't possibly be the same, ever. You've just entered into a covenant relationship with God. Both have to bleed. You have to bleed. He has to bleed. How are you going to do it? How's that going to go down? Well, Jesus bled for us as a human being. How's God bleed? Jesus bled for God as God. He is the one and only Superman. He's a Superman. The God and man could bleed. He entered a covenant with himself for us. As us, as him. Kaboom, kaboom, right? No Asian mind can hold it. There's no possible way. He exchanges names, guys. Did you guys know in Revelation it says that he himself will come to you? He is going to come to you, and he is personally going to hand Molly a white stone with her new name on it. And guess what? Only her and him know it. That's it. There's a facet of her life that is so personal that she shines in the identity of God, of Jesus. So personal, the way she is like him. So personal, it's for nobody else. Nobody else. This is between her and her King. And only me and you know it. He's going to hand you that. And it's going to be that personal. It's going to be how you have shown up right here in this world like him. So personal. Shined a facet of him no one else could. And boy, does it mean a lot to him. It means enough for him to do this. I'm going to give you this white stone with your new name. And it will be mingled with his name. You are blood brothers with Jesus. You are blood brothers with the King, with God's family. We are royalty. We have been joined. If anyone wants to see Jesus in the world, this is the way he's set it up, they have to come to you. They have to come to you. If the world wants to see Jesus physically, they got to come to you. This is his design, and he loves it. He trusts us with that, guys. Okay, how about our debt? Well, I got to tell you guys something. Sin, the currency that pays for sin can only be blood. Good news. That's what he's paid it with. He's paid it with his blood. Our debt is paid. It's paid. We're free. And I want you to know, if your walk is like mine, the enemy can go before God and accuse me. Look what Stan's doing. Look what he's thinking. He's doing it again. He's doing it again. Stan's doing it again. Stan's up to that again. Look at him. And he can accuse me before God. And guess what he does? Here's my scar. Stan's written on my hand. He's blood covenant. Dude, you're messing with the wrong guy. You're messing with the wrong guy, Stan. You're messing with blood covenant, dude. Out my face, right? Get out of my presence. This is blood covenant stuff, guys. Blood covenant meal. Let me read it to you. You guys ready for this? And he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it, He gave it to them, us. Each of you drink from it. This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It's poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. I'm in the many. That's me. I'm in there. Forgive the sins of many. When you see the sea of faces that many is, see my little bald face. Me. That's me. Mark my words. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you. With you in my Father's kingdom. Where are you going to be when you're drinking it with him? In Idaho on a farm? That wouldn't be good news. In North Pole? No, not North Pole. In my Father's kingdom, we're going to drink this together again. So the memorial tree is obviously a cross. We see our cross. We see the cross. That's our memorial tree. The blood covenant we walk in. We walk in its power. We are also living stones that God has raised up. When people go up to us as living stones, says, what's happened here? You can tell them how God brought me into the blood covenant. Did you know God initiated a blood covenant with me? He initiated a blood covenant with me, and I said yes. And I'm a living stone testifying the power of the blood covenant. It changes everything about my identity, changes everything about me. I want you guys to know, no deal, no contract, no agreement in this world, no job, no title, nothing. It all pales in comparison of what's been given to us in this blood covenant. There isn't anything that comes even close. You can approach God without guilt, shame, without any sense of inadequacy, because you have been brought in by blood covenant. You're his, and you're part of his tribe. You don't have to back down at all. Why? Your blood covenant. Your blood covenant. You're in. You're in. You can approach him with absolute confidence. He is your redeemer. He is your redeemer. All resources go to him. Everything goes to him. It's all him. And he cares for us as he sees fit, cares for us, sees our situations, and ministers to us. He is my redeemer. And he'll watch over me. And he'll care for me. He'll bomb me out of my own mistakes. He cares about me, and he's done it time and time again. He'll discipline me as he needs to. You know, the whole thing about justification, holiness, identity, all of it, all wrapped into covenant. It's all wrapped into it. It's all there. All of it. You want to understand it? Understand blood covenant, and you get it. You want to understand your identity? Understand blood covenant, and you'll get it. It's all yours by the right of marriage, by the right of blood covenant union. I'm him, he's me, we're one. And guess what? From now on, he calls us friend. He calls me friend. Who am I? I'm a friend of God. So, if this doesn't give you confidence, I suggest really do a study on the blood covenant, and you will be so amazed. There's so much to it. It's just rich what God has done. He's done it. He stood in as me and him. He's done it. It's sealed with his blood. He's given me his spirit. We are one. I can heal. I can change. I can face anything. I can be fearless. How can I lose? Right? How can you lose? So next week we will continue. We'll get our shovel back out and start digging at ourselves in here and start going after our inner healing again. And it's going to be really, really powerful. I hope you guys continue with God's recovery program and join us here, because this is crazy stuff. It's how God changes us. It's how he does the work, and what our part is, what his part is. And I really want you guys to get in on that.